wanted to do, but you haven't been able to do them. And you just dwell on them because you just really want to do it. And just for me, dying to this life, that's one that I'm working through, that there are some things that maybe you thought you wanted to do or wanted to have or wanted to go, which you're going to have to let go of. That you're going to have to let go of that desire that you had. Another random thought that can come into your mind is, I think I'd be better off on my own. I think I'd like just to separate myself. All those annoying people at church, I'm sure me and God will just be fine. You know, it's pretty common. You know, why bother spending time with other people? Another one is thinking about, well, how can I get around kind of what God has told me? Let's just work this out. Let's try and work out some sort of compromise. What can I get away with? How close to the wind I can sail? All these things can go round our minds. And the problem is they can take up a lot of our thinking time. This morning as well, I wanted just to focus on one sort of thought area too. And this is being critical or judgmental of other people. I think it would be true to say most of us don't like being judged or criticized. Hands up. Just checking. Okay. However, if we're not careful, some of us can feel comfortable criticizing and judging. And the reason I wanted to flag this one in particular is because it can have an impact on you very much. In Matthew 7, chapters 1 and 2, it says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you will judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And I'll start this, Martin can finish it off. But what I need in my life is the loving, merciful judgment of God. No way do I want to be judged by the measure I would use. And I don't really understand it, but somehow if you decide that you are in a position that you can criticize and judge, you better accept exactly that same measure is going to be used back on you. And all I can say to you is, I just wouldn't recommend it, okay? Because if you're anything like me, you don't want to be in that position. You need the mercy and love of God in your life. I think too, I just want to use this example of how that the initial illustration I used of how it can kind of take over your life. If you start having critical, negative thoughts about someone, my experience is there comes a time where you feel like you need to share those with other people. Typically, it's not the person that you're being critical or judgmental of, it'll be someone else. It might even start to affect your behavior towards that person. The number of people you're critical and judgmental of tends to grow and grow. When you meet people, the conversation can be dominated by talking about other people. And then it starts to unravel because then even your friends start to wonder what you're saying about them when you're not there. You find your thoughts are dominated by negative things. You can't remember the last time you said a word of encouragement to anyone. The fire of God, the love of God starts to diminish in your life. So I hope I'm not the only one, but I know people like that, who over decades have just become so judgmental and negative, and then wonder why they've become isolated and bitter. This is another thing I just wanted to share as well. This is something I've learned, is we just don't know the whole history of someone. We just don't, okay? We're happy to form a judgment when we've met them a few times, but we just have no idea what's happened in the last 10, 20 years, no idea what things have affected them. And I find, you know, it just means as well, apart from everything else I said, I've just got no grounds to form a judgment, no basis to form a judgment. So thoughts, so I think the starting point is, do we think we have any control of our thoughts? Can we control our thoughts? So I'm going to read a few scriptures. So Philippians 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought. Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I've become convinced that for most people, the main battleground is actually in their mind. Worry, fear, negative thoughts about people. That's, and as we were saying before, it just, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you can just say, you know, I don't want any, those thoughts never come into my mind. It's somehow that we have to learn that when we do get those thoughts, we know how to fight them. That's my experience. And for me, the best time to deal with a thought like that is straight away. Because what you don't want it doing is building a nest there or taking root. And I heard another preacher say, the best weapon to deal with an unhelpful thought is the word of God rather than another thought. Okay, and that kind of made sense to me, because what you don't want is some sort of big argument going on in your head. What you want is something that just quashes it. And it reminded me a little bit of when Jesus was tempted out in the wilderness. So, you know, a thought was being sowed in his mind, but his response was the word of God, just to stop it there and then, stop it in its tracks. So this is, I always feel like I'm confessing when I'm, another confession, okay, this is, I find memorizing scripture accurately very difficult. Anyone else? Yes, okay. I'm quite good at half remembering scripture, okay. I sometimes can remember the scripture, but not the actual place that it is in the Bible. So this is my problem. But what I love this, if you read Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, it talks about the statutes, the commandments, the testimony, the law of the Lord. Lots of different words, and it also uses the words the precepts. And in the Collins Dictionary, it says a precept is a general rule that helps you decide how you should behave in particular circumstances. So the precepts of the Lord. So for me, a precept is something that after studying and meditating on the Word of God, you decide that it's true and you're prepared to base decisions on it. So I'll give you some examples. So these are just Michael examples. So Michael, the person standing before you, is loved by God and very precious to him. So if I'm honest, a thought comes, Michael, you're a bit of a waste of space, doesn't last very long in my mind. Because a precept for me, and I'm sure there's hundreds and hundreds of verses in the Bible that would confirm that I'm loved by God. I'm precious to him. To be honest, I'm so precious to him, he actually sent his son to die for me. Another precept I work on is you can't go too far wrong if you love others. Okay, so just as a precept, sorry, but I'm going to default to love you, okay? You might be irritating, in my opinion, but I'm going to default to love you. And I've just concluded from the Word of God that that is the best starting point. So if anything comes into my mind, you know, that's against that, I have a precept, and for me, I don't know why I just like that word. It's the best starting point is that I love you. Why God loves you? Why should I take a different position? This is a good precept. I don't know everything. I can be deceived and get things other wrong. And that there's a Proverbs, all a man's ways, all a woman's ways seem right to him. And in a way, you have to kind of be sort of confident that you're not completely bonkers all the time, you know. But there comes a point where you have to understand, and I've had it enough times to know that I can be deceived and I can get things wrong. So my default, if there's a debate about something, isn't that I am 100% always right. Is that right? Janet, on the other hand, is always 100% right. The issue is just how quickly I actually come to understand how right she is. But that's an exception. It's a good... Another precept, other people might actually know something that you don't and could be better informed and making a better decision than you are. It's a precept. Another precept for me, it's good to be generous. I am convinced from the Word of God, and this is just me, by the measure that you give, you're going to receive. So I would testify to it. So anyway, you can ask Janet, but for me, if there's an opportunity to give, I want to go large, okay? That's just me, I want to go big. It's just a precept because I know that that's sowing a seed that I will reap from. Another precept, money and wealth is deceitful. It is just deceitful. If you think that money, wealth is going to bring you contentment and happiness, just a deceit. And I want to, it's not good if you're struggling and your needs are not being met, okay? That's one level, you know. The Lord is your provider. You want to be provision. But if you're being provided, you know, you have your provisions, you have your daily food and whatever. If you're pursuing wealth and money, it's going to be deceitful. This is something that really got to me, you know, I was away on business one time and I was trying to find something to watch on telly, and I watched a film about billionaires and their super yachts. There's a big sale of them in Monaco every year, just in case anyone's interested. But this is, it spoke to me, because what you saw was the billionaires who had the 40 odd, 50 billion, or is it, or million, I guess they were, yachts. Every single one of them was working on building the 60, 70 million one. And you just had that sense that none of them were really enjoying this 40, 50 million pound yacht. There was something in them that was just driving them to want to get the bigger one with the, I know, the helicopter pad on the back or something. And for me, it was just sort of so obvious and so extreme that even for the people who we would say had kind of everything, there wasn't that contentment. They still wanted that bigger yacht. Godliness with contentment is great worth. So that's one of those scriptures that I remember but don't remember where it comes from. Another precept for me, God's closeness and presence in my life is more precious than anything else. I love the sense of being right with God. I love the sense of there's nothing unrepented of, nothing hidden, but I am actually in fellowship with my Father. And why is that a precept? Because I love that sense and his presence so much, I don't want to go down any other path. I've had enough experience to know. Honestly, 50 billion yacht and not the presence of God just wouldn't work for me. Sorry, my sense of humor. I'm thinking 50 billion yacht and I'll have revival meetings on it. Okay, I'll leave that to the Lord. Okay, no, that's okay. This is another precept I have. I think I have a lot of them, but I'll carry on. I'm nearly there. God is not interested in any sort of compromise with sin in my life. I thought I could come to some sort of deal. Do you know what I mean? We can just have this level of sin, can't we? Do you know what I mean? Just. But everything I see, God isn't a God of compromise. Not even remotely. Not even slightly. And the only way you can really do is something comes to your attention that's not right, you just have to sort it out. Another precept, always be ready to share the gospel. Another precept, God is interested in the details. It amazes me, you know, when you, in the Old Testament, how he set up the tabernacle and the priesthood. Unbelievably detailed, unbelievably specific, and I think that's the same now. And this is the last one, and I've said it lots of time, God has no favorites. And that includes me, okay? Including me. So that basically means don't get carried away with yourself. And equally it means don't go putting other people on a pedestal either. So for me, when a thought comes into my mind which goes against any of these precepts, a kind of alarm sounds. And I have the option of then of saying, well, no thanks. I don't want to entertain that thought anymore. So again, just another slight aside, so this is work in progress now. The Bible talks about being single-minded. And that's something that I'm just starting to tell you. He says, you know, don't be double-minded because you won't receive anything from God in chains. Be single-minded. And what I can tell in me is this idea of being single-minded doesn't settle well, okay? I want to have a debate with myself, look at the pros and cons. Can I give you an example now? This is just sharing. So as you know, every 3 years, your beloved elders get put up for re-election.
Yeah, okay.
So my re-election was this year. So your beloved elders do have an option of saying, no thank you, I don't want to be put up for re-election this time. And I could just tell in my head, if I let my mind get going, I could have come up with lots of pros and cons either way, okay? So rightly or wrongly, I just decided that I would adopt a more single-minded attitude for that thing, which was basically, I didn't think about it, okay? Which I'm not sure is the good outcome. But for me, anyway, it was a helpful example of being single-minded because I could just tell it was something that could have taken up an awful lot of grey matter thinking time. So I'm hoping in God, it just felt right for that particular thing. Don't waste any thinking matter time. Just be single-minded. Okay. I guess in the back of my mind is, you also had the opportunity to vote me out. Okay. So there was a kind of safety valve there. So I feel quite exhausted after that. That's a little insight into the thinking of Michael. And I know it's been a bit of a whirlwind, but hopefully you get a sense that our thinking is important. So that's really what I want to convey, that some control, you know, that you have some control over your thinking. You don't have to let these thoughts dwell in your mind, that whole sense of, thinking, well, I can think about this, no one's going to know, it's not going to do any harm. Just be careful, because you could be kidding yourself. We can't stop these random thoughts coming into our mind, but we can control them. Amen. So I'll just pray. So, Father, we lift this all up to you, Lord God. We lift it all up to you. Father God, we pray that you'd help us and teach us and show us how to fix our thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Father, help us. Father, help us to spot wrong thoughts. Help us and teach us how to just shut them down quickly, Lord. We may walk closely with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together.